In our house, when the alarm goes off, we know there is no time to waste. Because if we did have time to waste, we would have set the alarm for later. After jumping up, the four of us walk around, half awake, sometimes grouchy at each other, not knowing who. Why are you grouchy at me? I'm half awake. Bumping into each other, getting dressed, brushing teeth and hair, packing lunches. Sounds familiar, I'm sure, to many. I'm embarrassed to say this one. We all eat breakfast in the car. Monday through Friday. Not recommended for health habits. On the way to school or work, well, eat breakfast in the car. No time to waste. Forget to bring something. School permission slip, jacket returning to a friend, one of the kids' bottles of water, at least once or twice a week, because the brain's not totally functioning properly. And we know many, many people with similar routines. I often want to simplify. A lot of days I just feel like coming over.
So, I don't know if anybody else identifies with that, but it's true.
I do it once in a while. It's a privilege of having an office where nobody can see me if I'm on the ground. That's true. My dear friend from college, Patrick, and I talk about once a week on the phone, and a long time ago we made a pact. In our check-ins on the phone, we're free to say that we're busy. But we can't say that we're surprised that we're busy, because that would be a sign of losing our grip on reality and annoying to the other person, because that's what we always say to each other. Both of us are almost always busy, very busy. We're always pushing the envelope on how little we can sleep and stay healthy and keep our hobbies and do our jobs, be good husbands, keep the house clean, blah, 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 blah. What's Charlie Brown's teacher? Wah, 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 wah. You know, the only newsflash would be if we were not busy. And of course, we would be losing our grip on reality if we thought that in any way we were unique in our busyness, because we're not. Anne Burnett, the communications professor at North Dakota State University, studied a trove of holiday letters from around the country, stretching back to the 60s, serves as an archive of the rise of American busyness. Words and phrases that began surfacing in the 70s and 80s, hectic, whirlwind, consumed, crazy, constantly on the run, way too fast, now appear with astonishing frequency, she says. Now it's just a given that people, including in Fargo, are going nuts with busyness. Around the country, many people say they're too busy to vote, take vacations, sleep, or have sex, and a lot of people shop on their smartphones while sitting on the toilet. I thought that is a good use of time, by the way. I have to say. Got to get it done. And it's true that with Americans, busyness often translates to anxiety. Nearly one in five of us has anxiety disorder, We spend over $2 billion a year on anti-anxiety medications. College students are often described as more stressed out than ever before. Who knows if it's true? There are many explanations for the nerves, such as less cohesive communities and the constant self-comparison that is involved in the social media. When I'm giving pastoral care to folks, a majority of them are dealing in some level with anxiety or depression, but a lot of anxiety. It's in the groundwater. And for folks who don't suffer for it, I'm highly interested in how they achieve that, to not be absorbing the anxiety that's groundwater in the culture. Now, of course, many times busyness is not a choice, and busyness is not always bad, of course. We do things for the good many times because we have to. It's good to be able to work to make ends meet, to fulfill duties, to take care of ourselves, and doing can make us feel good. It can make us feel good to go to work, volunteer, including here at the church. These things, there is a spirituality in service and doing which is real. And just including down to the most basic, when I'm feeling jammed up, sometimes not right, just vacuuming the carpet can really help pivot my emotions to better. We can act our way into feeling better. That's all true. But we know the pendulum can swing too far, and in many ways it probably has for some time now. The Calvinist work ethic claims you don't work in order to live, you live in order to work. The new ethic has a bit of a twist. You live in order to stay busy. Part of Patrick and my issue is we don't want to say to each other, we don't always admit it, we're not always aware, but we don't want to say, man, you won't believe how much I just sat around today. Amazing day. Slept in, read the paper leisurely, took a nap, made a slow brunch, took another nap. I'm like, that's not really a guy check-in, apparently, for us. But here, this is honestly, very importantly, one of the reasons why I believe in religious community. Because here we remind ourselves of the true benefits of rest. I came here a very hyper guy, and honestly, I've had so many role models on how to have good activities of slowing down that are meaningful and healthy. And I mean that so much. People who have lived out spiritual wisdom, going back to the book of Genesis, God made earth and heaven in 6 days, and then God rested. In the book of Exodus, directly tied to that history, God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember, meaning do it, remember it, live into it, and you will keep it holy by being in Sabbath. Many of our Jewish friends and family observe Sabbath, starting on sundown on Friday, ending on sundown on Saturday. This is a wonderful tradition, which in these neighborhoods so many of us are connected to through people we care about and admire, can involve a friendly, relaxed meal, taking a walk, not working. And there are a lot of different frames and words for how to talk about this set of experiences for humans. One I like is the spirituality of leisure. This comes from a dear friend of mine, a Franciscan priest, Larry Janowski in Chicago. And it's funny, Larry took a sabbatical to write a book on the spirituality of leisure. And at that time, his 90-year-old mother said, Larry won't finish that book because he likes leisure too much. And she was right. But Larry, He was not pleased that she busted him, but it was true. Larry says one way to think about leisure is as the opposite of work. Work is for production. So you could be producing materially, intellectually, financially, like I was trying to get Jen to think with the garden. But the primary goal of leisure is not to produce, like Jen with her garden. Leisure opens us up to be filled with the grace of the world. It's not avoiding working, it's connecting with the holy. So, how much value do you honestly ascribe to leisure? How often do you just say to a friend, hey, let's sit around the house and relax together? Many of us need to continue working through the Calvinist work ethic on steroid stigma, that leisure is laziness or bourgeois privilege, because that's just oversimplifying it, and it's off the mark if that's what's really in your brain, which is sometimes what I'm stuck with too. It's well known that Europeans receive longer vacation benefits on their jobs, and American labor unions seldom work for more vacation. We organize and work mostly for money, now more for health care as well, which is obviously very important. And maybe we are shifting course, but maybe we should shift course. Maybe we should pause the hustle bustle more often and claim that it is good to stop, breathe, and be. Do whatever your gardening activity is. Leisure can bring simplicity, clarity, and intelligence. This bright faith the Buddhists talk about, that comes with pausing. I believe the Dalai Lama meditates 5 hours a day. Just a childlike curiosity and clarity for what is. You can spark a lot of brilliant ideas off of that simplicity. Pause the hustle bustle. Stop. Breathe. And be. Leisure can bring peace and health, lower blood pressure, healthier heart, fewer addictive tendencies, can increase the quantity and the quality of your life. Pretty valuable. Pause the hustle bustle. Stop, breathe, and be. Now, fortunately for me, Meister, I sort of hit bottom with business like I had with alcohol. But because I grew up with considerable discomfort with myself being with me, I was not uncomfortable doing nothing for a long time. So that was where I had to work through. And I've been fortunate with the help of a lot of people to work through that. And I honestly love leisure now. Love alone time. And I certainly don't go to zero on business at all, but I go for less. I do let go of the compulsion to go, go, go sometimes and just read a novel and take a nap. I go to bed early more than I ever have just because, hey, my body says go to bed. It's okay. How do you stop, breathe, and be? Do you invite a friend to do something similar? Simple. Let's just have a potluck lunch between the two of us. Keep it simple. Do you nap? Do you take a walk in a section of the Wissahickon previously unknown to you, or go on your favorite old path? How do you stop, breathe, and be? knowing that it is a gift to be simple. Let us sing this hymn together in that spirit.